And hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Weekly Scoop. I got the Cosmic Baddie, Kimmy, on. She has been a good friend of mine. We did like a soul healing session together, an Akashic Record healing session together. So finally got her on the show. Super excited for that. She talks about her business, her story, the come up, you know, where she's going, what she's doing. And I'm just really glad, you know, this podcast can, you know, connect people that meet through this art of business, you know, this art form of transacting with each other. So pretty cool stuff. But first,
introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Boom. All right. Sweet. We're good. So welcome everyone to another episode. I'm with a person that I never thought I was going to actually have on the show. I've actually worked with her on some Akashic Record reading and also some like business spiritual energetics. So Kimmy, the Cosmic Baddie, is a good friend of mine that I've gotten in touch with. I think it was like 7 months ago.
Something like that.
Yeah. And she's a wonderful human, very in touch, very aligned. And I'm really excited for the cosmic conversation today. So Kimmy, go ahead. The floor is yours. Introduce yourself.
Thank you for having me. So yeah, you did a pretty great job of introducing me. I'm flattered. But yes, I'm Kim, the Cosmic Baddie and Akashic Records reader and spiritual business coach. I've been on my spiritual journey for probably the past 15 years now, and I'm really just here sharing my wisdom and my guidance with anyone who wants to learn how to be more in touch with their spirituality or learn how to combine strategy and energetics when building their own business.
Wow. That's awesome. And what does spirituality mean to you exactly?
Ooh, already coming with a hard-hitting question. You know, that's such a deep question because spirituality can mean so many different things to so many different people. But I would say to me, spirituality means being your truest, most authentic self. And that means so many different things to different people. I feel like maybe sometimes when people think of spirituality, they think going off into the forest and meditating all day or getting rid of all their materialistic items. And that's really not true for me. For me, it's living life to the fullest, being fully present, having deep conversations, deep relationships, feeling emotions fully, and really just letting yourself be who you are and letting go of everything that you're not.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a great description. To me, that's kind of the same thing. And I like how you said, for me, you're not exactly telling them what spirituality is. You're just saying in kind of your opinion, because yeah, spirituality is definitely kind of a subjective term that people misconstrue for their own kind of gain in terms of like marketing and, you know, trying to create groups of followers. So yeah, I'm 100% with you. I definitely don't think spirituality, and this is what I've struggled with because I was, you know, a part of a collective group that was big on, like all this polarity with like spirituality and like, don't drink, don't smoke weed, don't do this, don't do that, fully devote yourself to like making money and like doing all these like kind of culty things. And, you know, I think we'll delve into that a little bit more. But first, getting to know you better, what was like the moment where you decided, hey, I want to get into this space, even if it didn't seem like it was a space? Like, what got you into doing spirituality as a business?
Yeah, great question. So I've always been somewhat connected to spirit and source ever since I was a child. I've been practicing manifestation ever since I was a teen, but I went the regular corporate route, worked in finance accounting for like 7 years, worked for one of the biggest accounting firms in the world. You know, I had the quote unquote dream job, but on the inside, I was anxious, I was depressed, I was burnt out. So, you know, I got to a point where I really couldn't even work there anymore. I was like, this is so out of alignment. So I found myself feeling lost when all my peers were moving up in their career. And I was like, what am I here to do? What should I do now? And I kind of realized the answer was in front of me all along, because I actually started my Instagram page just as a hobby in university. And I was sharing things about manifestation and the law of attraction. And then when I got out of the corporate world, I was like, wait, why don't I turn my passion into something that I can actually make a living from? Mm-hmm. So I can do this more full time. And so that's when I was like, okay, let me get serious about this. And I started hiring my own mentors, got a little bit more serious about my own spirituality. And I was like, okay, I've already been doing this my entire life, doing readings, receiving messages. So let me just refine it a little bit more and make it into an actual business. So yeah, basically, because I got burnt out from being in a career where I was super out of alignment, that's where I was like, okay, something needs to shift here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm with you. I think, the fact that you felt it even as a child, I think says a lot. I always questioned things when I was a kid, and I always felt myself, well, actually it's crazy, 'cause like I had this actualization, it was a while ago, but I used to write down visions as a child, what I thought were like, it was in the child construct of the mind, what like angels were, what God was, like what the saints were, because I grew up Catholic. And I actualized like a few months ago pondering this, that I was like visualizing stuff on a very like six dimensional like level as a child, because I was so innocent and like just pure of heart that I was able just to tap into these things that, okay, now I know I could do that as a kid. I can do this now, obviously. I'm more intelligent now. I'm more aware now. So let's figure it out. And that just sounds like kind of a similar story with you, in a way of like, I had that as a child. This is something I can prove to other people. Hey, I tapped into this at a very young age. So I think that's really dope. So you worked in accounting?
Yes. I'm a trained professional accountant still.
That's amazing. I have a brother who's in accounting, so I think it's kind of funny.
No way.
Yeah, you don't come off as an accountant though. Like,
yes,
no offense.
Very different. One is very logical, analytical. You must follow the rules, and then spirituality is just like do whatever you want, very free and flowy. I think I take that as a compliment that I don't come off as a stereotypical accountant.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean like, yeah. Well, first off, from what I've seen on your Instagram, you like to have fun. So most accountants I know, sorry, Connor, they're not going to Vegas and like, you know, going to music festivals and shit like that. But you know, that's just me. But yeah, like I definitely can see the two contrasting sides. So like, how do you take both of these lifestyles and merge them together? Like, how have you been able to do that so efficiently?
Like spirituality and also having fun, or like accounting and spirituality?
So accounting and spirituality.
Yeah, you know, I feel like that comes back to the fact that as a human, we're multifaceted and we're not just one thing. Even though I consider myself to be quite spiritual, I'm not only spiritual. Like you said, I'll go to Vegas or I'll go out on the weekend. So there's these other aspects of me too, like growing up in school, I was like the quote unquote nerd who got like straight A's and like studied really hard and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So I see it as just another aspect of my personality. But at the same time, I also recognize the limitations I put on myself when I was just solely an accountant. Like I was denying so many aspects of myself. I remember growing up, I thought you could be either only logical or creative. So I saw myself as logical and I kept telling myself my entire life, I'm not creative. I'm not creative, until I finally let that go one day. And I was like, wait, I am super creative. So it's just like kind of about coming back to what I said earlier, letting yourself be your most authentic self and letting go of all these stories that we tell ourselves about how it's supposed to be or what we should be or what we think we are or who am I to be this. And I think once we get out of our own way, we can allow ourselves to be all of the things.
That's, yeah. And I was about to ask you like how you balance fun and spirituality, but you answered that question very well. So let's get to your business. So one of your business facets that is really intriguing that I'll probably try to ask you as many questions as I can to get you to go as deep as possible, because this is going to be very new to a lot of listeners of this show, because the spirituality piece is something I've lacked on this show, and bringing you on brings like another level that even I'm not used to from an interview standpoint. Yeah, so
excited.
Akashic record reading. What is that? And like, how do you go about it? How did you stumble? Like, how did you go about it in your own personal life and then bring it into the business life? And what benefits? Well, let's just start with those two questions.
Sure. So the Akashic Records are a metaphysical database of everything that has happened, is happening, and could potentially happen. So it's kind of like the book of your soul. So in the Akashic Records, we can explore things like past lives, soul contracts, what's blocking you, how to overcome these problems, your most aligned steps, really pretty much anything. So it kind of differs from just like getting messages, because we're looking at your life as a whole, like all of your lifetimes. And we're even looking at the future too. And, you know, to understand this, we also have to understand that there really is no past, present, and future. Everything is happening now. We usually think of time in this kind of linear fashion or this like straight line, but I like to kind of think of time as stacked on top of each other, like past, present, and future. So right. All of these things are happening right now. We're just experiencing this moment right here because we're at this vibration, at this frequency. But the reality is there's all these other versions of you living right now in different timelines, but you're just not at that frequency, so you're not there experiencing it.
Okay, gotcha. And how did you kind of stumble into that space, originally speaking?
Yeah, so this is kind of a funny story. I was actually working with a business mentor, and as part of her package, there was an Akashic record reading included, not okay. by her, but by this Akashic record reader. So I thought it was cool. I felt called to it. So I was like, let's do the reading. So I meet with her, and one of the first things that she tells me is that I read the Akashic records in a past life. And at the time I thought it was cool, but I was like, there's no way, like that's too advanced for me. That's like I couldn't accept that. But then I started thinking about it, and a few months later, I saw that she was actually teaching a course on how to read the Akashic Records. And again, I still thought, like, maybe this isn't even going to work for me, but let's just sign up anyway, because I felt that call. So I did that, and, like, within, like, the first time we opened the records, I was just like, okay, I was able to tap in really easily, and everything just flowed. And there was a little exam with the facilitator at the end, and she's like, yeah, you're connected. Like, no worries there. And that has only been confirmed by, you know, doing readings for my clients and being able to predict things, or them saying that I was super spot on. So that's kind of how I stumbled upon the records. I guess, like, that's how I stumbled upon it in this lifetime, but I guess I've been doing it for many lifetimes already.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that makes sense. So I mean, I've done a reading with you. It was super healing. I guess for my listeners. So Kimi and I did a reading through a soul contract tie specifically that I severed with an ex-girlfriend, which was a huge component of why I'm able to be here now, be in a new healthy relationship and be, you know, able to conduct my business, being able to, you know, publish a book, like having that kind of stemmed from that moment. And I found it just super intriguing when I did that first session with you, and I would recommend it for anyone, to be honest with you. So from an Akashic Records standpoint, for anyone, just anyone, what do you see the benefits of just doing even one session? Not even like, you don't even have to do like, even with you, in a sense, I want you to promote yourself right now, obviously, but like, just in general, how crucial is this like spiritual knowledge for like your own just gain in life?
Yeah. So first, thank you for the kind words. I'm so happy that, you know, that session served you well. And yeah, the Akashic Records are life-changing for me, for my clients, for anyone, whether it's you work with me, you access the records on your own with someone else. And the reason being is I feel like a lot of us don't think about, nor do we understand the impact that past lives have on us. And I feel like the Akashic Records really allows you to access that, because what happens is these versions of you that live these past lives, well, they're really living the life now, even though we say it's in the past. As I mentioned, everything is happening now. So these versions of you are still influencing you in the present moment, but you may not realize that. So for example, if we use like what you just talked about, how you were still kind of connected to this ex-partner, that version of you was still kind of stuck in that timeline, was still feeling those feelings, was still even experiencing maybe some of the unpleasant things that happened in that relationship. So by going into the Akashic Records, it's like we're almost connecting with that past version of you. You're able to comfort that version, tell that version what they need to know, give them information they don't have, and really cut those ties energetically so that you're not feeling those emotions, so that you're not feeling so connected. And as a byproduct, you're kind of releasing this present day you from feeling those emotions. And then you can move forward, like you said, and enter into a new healthy relationship, pursue your passions, your career, is without that looming energy. Another really good example I have of this is people who are wanting to speak up about their spiritual nature or start their own business, but they're afraid to talk about spirituality. And it's like, yes, well, our logical mind might tell us we're afraid what our friends and family might say. And that is true, but it usually goes a lot deeper than that. If we think back to, you know, back in the day when it wasn't always safe to be a healer or a witch or an astrologer or whatever it is, many of us lived lifetimes where we were persecuted, exiled, killed, tortured. So when we try to talk about spirituality in this lifetime, our body still remembers that pain, that fear. And it's almost like we aren't even able to talk about it. So by going back into that past lifetime, healing that version of you, giving it safety, telling them that they're safe, and really cutting those energetic cords, now in this lifetime, that fear dissolves. You're able to talk about what you want because you've really like released that version of yourself. And that's really just one aspect of the Akashic Records. I talked about past life, but you can really dive into anything, like even a present day block, for example, to starting your business might be tied to a past life you had in poverty where it wasn't safe to take risks. Like there's just so many different avenues you can explore.
Wow. Yeah. No. Absolutely. It's pretty crazy. It's almost never ending to a sort, but you know, that's the constantly, you know, evolving change. Going back to like you talking about friends and family not agreeing with, you know, your spirituality choices, did you ever have any pushback when you were starting this, like from friends or family?
Yeah, so it's funny because in childhood, so I'm an Indo-Trinidadian woman and I lived in a space, Vancouver, at least back then, where there was like no other Trinidadian people. So I grew up pretty much feeling isolated, ostracized. And although that was difficult, it has helped me as an adult, especially in this past, because I'm already at a point where I was like, okay, well, fuck it. Like people have already been judging me, isolating me for so long. I might as well do whatever I want, especially as an adult. I'm not a child anymore. So I have that confidence. I'm more grounded and established. So to a certain extent, I didn't give a fuck. And I also am really grateful because at least my true friends were very supportive. My parents and immediate family were also supportive. Maybe there were a few, you know, far off family members that had some opinions about what I was doing. But again, I was kind of at a point where I was like, okay, well, my purpose here is so much more important than anyone else's opinion. Like, am I not going to do it just because this like random person has like a negative opinion about it? Like, no. So that's kind of my headspace, but I know it can be difficult to really speak about certain topics or esoteric things. So I'd really just ask yourself, what's more important? Living a life that's true to you and doing what you know you're here to do, or, you know, wrapping yourself up in the opinions of others?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I resonate with that. And, you know, it's difficult to make the leap sometimes because of friends or family. But then it's also when you make this decision to go on this journey spiritually, like the people that disintegrate from your circle are meant to disintegrate because they're not willing to do the hard shit that you're doing, you know? And honestly, it takes a lot of courage to think outside the box, because I always thought in the construct of, you know, spirituality is Catholicism or spirituality is church, you know, and that's only priests and like lay people can like have that energetic connection to God. But in reality, like it's within every single one of us. So yeah, no, that's, and also crazy. So I guess now, since you're in Canada still, are there more Trinidadian people around or no?
Not necessarily in Vancouver, but there's a few more, and like social media has made it a bit easier. And it's funny what you said, okay, too. Cool. Like, I was also raised Catholic, so I can relate to just having a certain view of what God was or what spirituality is, and then, you know, walking the spiritual path and realizing, no way, we're all like mini expressions of God of sorts. There's no chosen one. Like, we're all equal and we're just connected to varying degrees, you know?
Yeah, that's great. God, everyone just grew up Catholic, it seems like. every time I talk to someone, they're always like, yeah, I grew up Catholic. I'm like, man, crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Went to Catholic school my whole life, and
oh no, man. Way I didn't go to Catholic school, but I did the catechism where you learn, and I went through like confirmation and all that.
Yeah, exactly, like you did the, you know, first communion, you know. Yeah. All the fun ritualistic shit that, you know, you look on, you're like, might be a little culty, but that's all right.
Yeah, agreed.
It'd be like that. So you grew up in Canada, you still live in Canada. So is Canada like, just, you think that's your place to be, like your forever home?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, I was born in Toronto, moved to Vancouver as a child. So I've thought about moving to other places, but at the same time, I'd miss my friends and family, but you honestly never know where life can take you. I love traveling. So yeah, maybe this will be my home base, but who knows? Maybe I'll travel for a year or live somewhere else for a few months. I'm pretty open to that. But yeah, that's a hard question to answer. I'm not sure. I do love coming to the States as well. So
right. You never know. Yeah, no. Yeah, I see you like going to Vegas. Do you like going anywhere else besides Vegas in the United States?
Oh my God, yes. I do go other places besides Vegas. Scottsdale.
Scottsdale.
No, I've been to like a lot of other places, you know, outside the US, Mexico, Thailand, Trinidad, obviously, all over Europe. So yeah, I really like traveling just in general.
Wait, so do you have family in Trinidad? Like they live in Trinidad? Oh, yeah. Like
the majority of my family still lives there. Only a few.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Damn. So do you visit there like yearly, or is it kind of like every once in a while?
I kind of go every year. I've been fortunate enough to go back all the time, but it's really never enough. Like even if you go back once a year, that means you're seeing your family only once a year, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy. Yeah. No, that's cool. That's cool. And, you know, taking this spiritual jump, you know, is definitely not for the weak. And, you know, were there ever points where you felt like you weren't lonely, but were there ever points where you felt like, man, I'm doing this like on my own? Or did you always have like a support system?
Oh yeah, we can use the word lonely. There were lots of times where I was extremely lonely, isolated, questioning my path. And you kind of talked about it before how, mm-hmm. you know, when you start walking the spiritual path and when you start doing the healing work, there are going to be people that fall out of your life. And there are so many changes that happen when you start walking the spiritual path. One, your eyes are awake to everything going on, how we've been programmed, how the whole system is pretty much like against you, and you have to unlearn everything that you know.
Right.
And you feel so different toward, like, compared to everyone else who isn't aware of these things. So you have to like grapple with those two things. And then when you also start your healing journey, realizing how maybe things that happened in your past actually weren't okay. And then you have to go back and do the work. And then you have to deal with everyone else's opinions. And then there's like this huge purge that happens where people fall out of your life and things fall out of your life. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe you lose your place. And you always have to remember it's part of the divine plan, because when things fall out of your life, it's only making space for better things, better friends, better relationships, better jobs, better accommodation. But yeah, there were many, many times where I was in like, there are different stages of the spiritual awakening, and maybe your listeners have heard of the dark night of the soul, which is probably the most challenging part of the spiritual journey. And we can go through multiple dark nights of the soul.
Oh, yeah.
So, but the first one I'd say maybe is the deepest, and that's where everything that I just mentioned happens, when all these big changes. So yeah, I was pretty depressed, anxious, and really just purging all of these things. But I feel like to a certain extent, you kind of have to be alone when you're going through that, because you're thinking for yourself, like, I can do this. And no one else can really do it for you. You can have a support system, you can have a mentor, friends and family, but at the end of the day, like, you're the one that heals you. There's no healer, there's no one else. They just help you realize the power that you have within.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've definitely gone through my dark night of the soul. My first one. So that is the worst one by far. I don't think it could get any worse than that. Like, I really don't.
I hope not. I can't see it getting worse than that either.
I don't wish that on my worst enemy. No. But yeah, no, I wanted to ask that because, you know, I definitely had lonely moments, but then I had like people that I didn't think were going to come back into my life, came back into my life. Which I'm really grateful for. And that leads to my next question with you is, you know, one thing I'm not a huge fan of is red pill versus blue pill, or like matrix versus like, you know, to complete freedom, like just like the polarity of it. And I guess like my question to you is, do you have, you know, these spiritually sovereign friends, but do you also have friends that are still like kind of matrix, quote unquote, type of friends, you know, that, you know, still work jobs and like also like love to go out and like have a good time and stuff like that? Do you have, because like I asked you that because I kind of have like a weird balance of those types of friends, where like I have some matrix type friends where like spiritual conversations are a little uncomfortable, but I still love them and I love like the times that we have together. But then I also have those very spiritual like type of friends and those curious type of friends too. So I guess just one person asking to another person, like, do you have both types of friends, or are they mostly just spiritual friends? Like, I couldn't imagine you just having matrix driven like type of friends.
Yeah, great question. Honestly, I have spiritual friends, and then I have friends who are not spiritual at all, and I love them both. I love them all, and I don't see one group as better than another. You know, they're all people, they're all equal in my eyes. And you know, you have different types of friends, and that goes for any type of relationship. There's no one person that can fulfill all your wants and needs, and it's important to have all these different types of friends. And I feel like they enrich my life by having all these different types of friends. And for myself personally, there are times where I feel very, very connected to my spirituality, and I'm in my spiritual routines and I'm doing the things all the time. And then sometimes I'm like not really in my routines and I'm going out partying and traveling and doing all these things. So yeah, I definitely have friends that are not into spirituality at all. And it kind of comes back to what I said before about just living life to the fullest. I really just don't believe in the whole spiritual ideology where you have to be a certain way or certain things are spiritual and these things are not spiritual. So I'm not saying that certain things aren't harmful. Like, we know that drinking maybe isn't the most healthy thing in the world, or eating junk food isn't the most healthy thing. No one's arguing that point.
Yeah, no one's arguing that.
it's not spiritual. Like, we came here, we're multifaceted beings, and we came here to experience what it means to be a human. And that means doing all of the different things. And, you know, maybe this is getting a bit off topic, but so many quote unquote non-spiritual things that I have done have taught me so much about spirituality, about myself, about life, that I never would have learned had I not done those things. And, you know, even constricting yourself to these rules about, I'm not going to do this, I can only do this, I can only do that, that's still living in fear. You're scared of doing things because you're scared it's going to ruin your vibration or put you out of alignment. It's like, okay, we are powerful spiritual beings. Maybe we need to sit a little bit more in our own energy and our own aura and realize that a few little things are not going to put us off our path.
Ooh, damn. Go off. Shit.
Yeah, I got a little bit passionate there, but it's just this narrative that I see, and it feels like, even when I like feel into it or look at it, I just see these like chains and like this fear. I can even like feel it in people where they're so afraid to like have a drink, even though they really want to, or like go to this place or listen to this song. And it's like, no, do you really think source like put you here to live in fear? It's like, no, have that awareness. Yeah, don't like let it take over your life, but allow yourself to have the experiences that you want to.
Wow. Yeah. That sums up a lot, because I really, when I was a part of this collective group, I really got into that hole that like, it was kind of a fear-based thing, you know? And it's interesting because I was talking earlier with someone else about sobriety in general, and you know, like, I go in spurts. Like, I go in spurts of sobriety, but then I go in spurts of like, I have fun, or I have a glass of wine, like when I just eat dinner like casually, you know, like I go in spurts. And you know, I realized through like this probably whole year, like calendar year, actually from my birthday last year to my birthday that I just had, I realized it's really all about balance, and you can't just lean one way or the other. Like, you have to enjoy both aspects of life, because that you're right. That's a part of the human experience. And I guess, you know, when you travel or you go out and like you interact with people and those sorts of things, you're spiritually sensitive. How do you protect yourself when you go out into these types of environments? Because obviously you're on a different level than most people. So I'm curious if you have any sort of maybe routines or practices or whatever to keep yourself well aligned, even when you, yeah, go do things that are just, you know, matrixy.
That's a great question. You know, before I used to be really scared even just thinking about going to Vegas or going out, because I would think like, okay, you know, this isn't the most spiritual place. Maybe there's like negative things here. And that kind of goes back to what I said before about really being grounded in your own power and realizing like that we're so much stronger than these negative entities. And that sometimes that when you get to a certain level, it's almost like a non-issue, where like you don't have to worry about it because you're vibrating at a certain frequency where they're not even going to go there. They don't, because they don't want to vibrate that high. They don't want to be in the frequency of source. So they're not even going to be able to touch you. But it's not like I got to that place overnight. It takes a lot of work. What I would normally do, and I still do this to this day, is if I know I'm going to be going out, I'll take a second to protect my energy. So you can visualize, you know, a shield around yourself and just say some sort of mantra, like only positive energy is going to enter my space. And, you know, preparation can start long before vacation. You can start putting extra protection around yourself. You can start being really diligent about meditating, about cleansing your energy all the time, even depending on, you know, if you have a relationship with your spirit guides, asking them to be with you, setting intentions for how you want your night to go, how you want the vacation to go. And then when you come back, being diligent, realizing that, okay, regardless of how much protection that you put around yourself, there probably is going to be clearing that you need to do. And again, being okay with that, because we're human beings and we're living this experience, but just taking that extra time, doing a house clearing, taking a cleansing bath, you know, using selenite or imagining this bright white light coming down on you and clearing out any of that energy, kind of just developing your own routine. So I'd say, you know, it's less about what you do specifically and more about figuring out somewhat of a routine that works for you, because everyone's different. Everyone's going to be at different stages of their journey and everyone's going to need like varying levels of protection and cleansing. And I recommend this whether you're partying or not, just on a daily basis as you go through life. I feel like it's really helpful.
Gotcha. Are you a daily meditation person?
When I'm on the ball, yes. I never say that you have to do anything, but the one thing that I recommend everyone do is daily meditation, because it's just so life-changing. And if you're looking to get more in touch with your spiritual gifts or receive messages, there's just no way that can happen if all of these thoughts are going on in your mind all the time. But when we meditate, it's like we're clearing our mind. So if a message were to pop in, you know it's a message and not a thought, because your mind was clear. And it takes practice to get to that point. But I feel like anyone who has been meditating regularly can relate to how life-changing it really is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not on the ball either. Like, I took a break from everyday meditation for about a month and I just got back into it recently. And yeah, like I love it from a subconscious healing standpoint, just because like it can tap into like some very, very deep limiting beliefs that you can clear out like some weeds in a garden. So really fascinating stuff. It's always interesting talking about spirituality with someone, because I feel like everyone just has a lot of differing opinions. And I guess like my question to you now is, you know, what do you think the spirituality space in business, not even just like, I'm not even talking like religion and church and stuff, but just like in general, like the whole like conscious wealth space, the conscious creation space, this spirituality space, you know, that involves your Akashic record, you know, healing and clearing and manifestation and crystals. And like, there's so many different nuances to it. What do you think it lacks as a whole right now, though?
Okay, so the first word that pops into my mind is integrity. I feel like there are a lot of people, and, you know, not to bash anyone, but there's a fine line between, you know, shit talking and saying what's up and speaking the truth, is that when something becomes more popular, there is a lot more room for people with not the best intentions to enter the space, people who just want to make money, people who want to take advantage of people who are just starting on their spiritual journey. So I feel like there is a lot of room for integrity, and that's something that I've held near and dear as one of my biggest values in my personal life and my business. I always told myself that I would, you know, run my business and live my life with the highest degree of integrity. That looks like, you know, if a service isn't really right for a client, telling them that instead of taking their money just because I want sales, or being honest with someone about what I think would be better for them, or telling someone, yeah, just my honest opinion, and not promising results that are unrealistic, or promising things that really no one can do, like no one can quote unquote change your life. So I feel like there is a lack of integrity sometimes in the space. There's cultural appropriation, people stealing ideas, bypassing toxic positivity. And that's where we have room for discernment too. It's all of our responsibilities not to be upset at these things that are happening, even though it is upsetting, but to remember that we have to do our own due diligence and use our discernment and really feel into it before working with someone. How does this person feel? What is their energy like? Am I able to ask them questions? Are they knowledgeable? Are they receptive to my questions? How do they make me feel? Are they pressuring me? And really just letting your intuition guide you and use that as a compass. Yeah, a little off topic, but yeah, I think there's a lot going on in the spiritual world right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Can you, if you're comfortable sharing, are you able to name some instances where you've seen the bypassing, the toxic positivity? Have you been able to, like, has it happened to you personally from like a transaction standpoint, or have you just seen it with people's content? And are you able to open up maybe a little bit about like how people portray themselves or how they act? Because I guess like the reason I ask is because I've witnessed holistic health coaches that take steroids, they take Anavar, and they preach being healthy, like fully holistically healthy, eating good foods and all these things. And they're taking steroids to get jacked. So like, you know, that's one, that's just, I mean, don't preach one thing and do another. I had another kind of business coach who preached about, you know, discharge and credit repair, and his credit was in the 500s and he got his car repoed. So like, you know, it's, have you seen instances, yeah, where there's been a lack of integrity, whether it's you personally or just like through like friends or, you know, stories like that?
Yeah, yeah. A few come to mind. So in the business space, people just talking about things they have no idea about. And it's not to say that you need a business degree in order to talk about business, but, you know, you can't really be talking about ROI and analytics and all those things if you have no financial background yourself, if you don't really know what you're talking about when it comes to money, or even giving people advice on investing or growing their money when you haven't really done that yourself. That's more in the business space. But in the spiritual space, what I've noticed is a lot of bypassing when people say, I'm just owning my truth and I'm just speaking my truth, but they're really harming other groups. And, you know, the discussion of cultural appropriation is a very nuanced and really long one. But what I think about it is that it's not that, you know, other people can't practice yoga or can't do certain things, but there is a degree of responsibility to learn the right practices, to give credit where credit is due. Like, I'm sorry, but if you're preaching that you're doing yoga, but you're like half naked in front of like a statue of God, like, what are we really doing here? That doesn't really seem respectful to the Eastern practices where it came from. Another one that comes to mind is, someone that recently moved to Hawaii, a white woman. And we know that the people of Hawaii have pretty much said that they don't want anyone else settling on the land because they have these limited resources. And, you know, there's a different way to go about it. She could talk about how she's going to help them, how she's going to, you know, bring some of her income to, and help the land, the people. But instead, she's just, you know, dancing half naked on the beach saying, I'm ignoring the haters, I'm owning my truth. And that just feels so out of integrity to me. That just feels like bypassing to me. And those ones might be a little, I mean, she definitely knows what she's doing, but those ones might be a little bit less intentional. But if we even think about some of the greatest spiritual teachers, a lot of really big spiritual teachers out there are actually, you know, more on the path of darkness, if you want to talk about it like that. And when they talk about their teachings, a lot of what they're saying is false, or they're giving people wrong information so that they're giving up their sovereignty, or that they're opening themselves up to negative entities. And what someone says, like, it's never going to be fully a lie. It's going to be mostly the truth with a little bit of lies sprinkled in. And that's where, like, the discernment comes in. So, yeah, there's a lot of examples of, like, lack of integrity, lying that I've seen.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. I know that's not the most comfortable thing to talk about, but, you know, I think it needs to be said because, truthfully speaking, I've encountered a lot of these people, and a lot of them tried to prey on me as a person. Which is weird because I never thought I'd open myself up to people like that. And I did. Like, I had this person try to come in and tell me, I'll teach you how to, like, basically run a high ticket, like create a high ticket item. As I'm creating my one-on-one coaching program behind the scenes. And this person wanted to charge me like $3,000, like a month to meet, like, I think collectively like three hours a month. So it's charging like $1,000 an hour. And I'm like, wait a minute, as a guy that's like studied macroeconomics, microeconomics, finance, and like all those things, I'm like, how are you valuing at like this amount? And you're going to tell me like, what's my ROI going to be on this? And then there was no explanation. And I was like, it's just preying on people that like want freedom and sovereignty, and they don't know where to go, and they fall into these people's laps, you know? And I think the phrase that I've gotten the most from people like that is, you're projecting, when I've clearly stated, this is what is being received by people. And the common phrase has been, you're projecting. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I am telling you what I am receiving, and also what have other people have received and told me as well. Because people like to, I think one thing that's interesting about me is people like to confide in me and like to open up to me. So like, I've had a lot of people open up to me just about these different gurus, quote unquote, that have tens of thousands of followers on Instagram and have these large groups of people, like hundreds of people, and they're charging like thousands of dollars to like get your time and attention. And then they go in there and they have some knowledge, but they make these big promises like, you're gonna 10x your income, you know, in like 6 months, and stuff like, or you're gonna 10x your net worth. And that's like such a unreasonable thing to say, just because of how long just things take for you to get there. When I've brought it up, you know, you're projecting is one of the things that I've heard.
Yeah, you know, I've also heard like, if you didn't get the results that you want, you know, you were in fear, or you had blocks, or you had limiting beliefs. There's no
accountability
on the coach a lot of the times. And yeah, you're talking
about. But you have to be accountable.
Exactly. Especially if people are paying you thousands of dollars. And I mean, ethical pricing is a whole other topic. But, you know, yeah. I've seen people say that if like one of the most like predatory things I've seen is like, if you really wanted the freedom so badly, then you would take out a loan, you would put this coaching on your credit card, put yourself in debt in order to take this coaching. And it's like, how toxic is that? Why are we telling people to put themselves in debt or put themselves in a negative financial situation to do something that is honestly a luxury if you're not even able to pay for rent or pay for food? And like, you know, I see where how they're trying to spin it, that if you really believe in yourself, you'll take this leap of faith. But not everyone's nervous system is going to be able to handle that. Not everyone's body is going to be able to handle that type of risk. So you know, as a coach, that you're already setting your client up for failure. And it's just like, yeah, super unethical.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I was the accountability thing. It's funny you say that. And the reason I joked is because I've had people say like, you got to be radically accountable for your actions and yourself. But then when you voice a concern, they are like, well, that's not me. It is you. Like, this is a reflection of you. And like, it's just crazy that it's almost like the rules to be are not for me, or however the saying goes, the rules to be are not for me. Like, it's crazy, because like, these people just, like you said, they bypass any ethical rule, law, not even just in commerce, but just in being a person. They just bypass everything, and then they just throw it onto you. And it's just like, just like toxic people just doing toxic shit. I guess like another question to ask you. So, what are your thoughts on, so we talk about the spiritual space, what are your thoughts on the music industry, the movie industry? Like, what are your thoughts on that? And in terms of like consuming those things in general, I guess like, what's the best way to go about it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yeah, most mainstream artists, music, even ones that I personally enjoy, are, you know, negative. They are ritualistic. They're programming you when you listen to their music, when you go to their shows. I mean, even just looking at some of the most recent concerts. I even went to Drake and he brought out Travis Scott for the Vancouver show.
Yeah.
And I found it really interesting. You know, I love Drake, but for a portion of the show, there was a Grim Reaper going around the ceiling, and it had a knife, and it was like going down into the crowd. And I was like, that's so bizarre. Like, why would you have that at your concert? That obviously doesn't mean nothing. Like, we can't be so naive to think that these stars and this like music industry doesn't know about spirituality. Like, all the celebrities, all the people in power know about spirituality. They're using spirituality for their own gain. It's just that people like us are using it, you know, to better the planet, on the light, to better the collective, and they're on the dark side using it to help themselves, to help, you know, negative entities. So being aware, I think, is the first thing. When I was going to that concert, I did protect my energy before and after, and I was kind of aware of what was going on. Like, when the Grim Reaper was going on, I was just kind of giving myself some extra space to think about what was happening, maybe to protect myself a little bit more. So yeah, awareness is one. Mm-hmm. Realizing that, yeah, these things are happening. It's just so obvious in the music. Like, people are literally dressing up as demons and wearing devil horns. Like, there's no denying it. So acceptance would be the first thing.
Yeah.
Second thing I would say, though, remembering not to live in fear, because that's one of the biggest things. Because if we're afraid of listening to music, going to concerts where we genuinely do enjoy the music, like, my human self likes Drake.
Yeah.
And like, even though I think that Travis Scott is extremely demonic, some of his songs are a little bit catchy. I can't lie.
They're bangers for sure.
I can't lie. I was definitely dancing.
Yeah.
But it comes back to not living in fear, not feeling like one song, listening to one thing is going to ruin your life or take you off of your path. And that's where, you know, having a spiritual routine is so important. If you're cleansing your energy on a daily basis, protecting your energy on a daily basis, then you're not going to be as susceptible than as if you were unaware and doing nothing at all. And then doing special things, like, you know, if you come back from a concert. So I'd say it's more about doing these things no matter what, no matter what music you're listening to, no matter where you're going. And then if you are going to something specific, then doing something extra. But and then it comes down to the individual person too. Like, some people may feel really sick or really bad if they listen to certain types of music, whereas some other people may be unaffected. Doesn't mean one person's better than the other, just everyone's different and everyone's affected by different things. So kind of checking in with yourself about how you feel about certain things.
Yeah, I found it very interesting. My therapist went to see Taylor Swift, and I had another person who saw Taylor Swift, and they were like sick for like a week, and they just like felt ill. They felt really low energy. Like, they felt awful after going to the Taylor Swift concert. And I found that interesting, because I'm like, I've been to music festivals, and granted, like, the bass EDM that I've listened to has definitely sucked a lot of energy out of me, because it's very angry. It's a lot of anger. But I like, when I went to house EDM festivals and stuff, like, I felt good. So like, I definitely know that, like, there's a reason, like, music should not make you feel that way. So I just kind of wanted your take on it, because I've struggled with, like, I used to be a big Drake listener and a big Travis Scott listener. Now the only really mainstream guy that I still listen to heavily is probably Kendrick, just because Kendrick doesn't really fuck with my energy flow. But yeah, there's like really good songs by Drake, you know, Travis, Lil Uzi, like all those people that are occult people. But like, it's almost like, how do you balance that? Because I've found it hard to balance it myself. And, like, I've seen some of the Hollywood documentaries, and I've seen some crazy shit, and like, I've heard about some crazy shit too. So like, it's definitely had an effect on me, where I used to be polarizing, like, don't ever listen to this shit ever again. But then it's like, you know, people are going to listen to it regardless. These people are still going to make money off of it. Like, it's never going to just end or collapse, I feel like. So it's almost like, how do you just live in a world like that, you know? And that's just, I think, what a lot of people, and to sum up our whole discussion, I feel like today is like, we're going to have to live in this world, whether we like it or not, like in terms of like the spiritual, you know, battlefield. Like, there's always going to be things that are uplifting, and then there's going to be like things that are just putting you down. And, you know, it's just like, you got to find a way just to balance it, because you can't like fully shut it away. And I think that's what I've actually come to realize.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I feel like at first, when you realize everything going on, how like the music industry is manipulating you, our food, the government, literally everything, it's very scary, disheartening. It kind of fucks you up realizing all of those things. And then, you know, once you calm down, go through some healing, figure out your own routine, your own energy, and you navigate it, how I like to think about it is, it's almost like the biggest fuck you to them to go out and live your life and go and do these quote unquote, you know, negative things and just not be affected. Go to the Drake concert or Travis Scott concert and come home and do your cleansing and be like, yeah, I'm totally fine. Like, what you did had no effect. And again, like, it takes time to get to that spot. I can relate to, you know, there was a time where I couldn't even listen to certain types of music because I was so affected. And then now where I am in my journey, it doesn't have as much of an effect. And that's where, you know, I am today. But I think it's kind of about realizing like, fuck it, I'm going to do what I want because I'm so powerful. I'm so of the light that they don't even have an effect. Like, anything they try to say or do is powerless. And I feel like that's where, you know, hopefully one day we can all get to. And I think, yeah, that's like the biggest win that we could have.
Yeah, absolutely. Just having that acceptance, and then also like moving forward with like a positive, life-changing, you know, maybe business, like, you know, because like that's another thing too, is like the corporations that run the world, like the only way to control that is like you either have to stop consuming it or like you stop working for them. And that's just gonna, that's a hard ask. You're talking about hundreds of millions of people like just saying no, and saying no to like situations where they don't financially have the means to do that. So like it's like taking it with grace. And that's why, you know, like we said earlier, not thinking we're better than anyone spiritually, because we're not. Like, I truly believe that mindset every day. Like, I don't think I'm better than anyone. Like, I'm Coop, and you're Kim. Like, that's just how we gotta operate.
Definitely not better than anyone else, and really everyone else is just a reflection of you. They're just a different version of you in a different expression on a different timeline, and we're all just finding our way back to source, where is our end resting place, in my opinion, and we'll all get there eventually. And that's why it's so important to treat everyone with respect and kindness and compassion, even if they don't understand your views or where you are, or they argue with you or whatever. Just remembering like, hey, that's me at a different point in my life, and they're gonna figure out their own journey eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your services, can you give us the full scope and any new offerings that you have as well? Because I obviously have seen one of them. So what offerings do you have for the general public, and how can you be found?
Yes. So mainly I do Akashic Record readings and spiritual business coaching. You can find that on my Instagram at the.cosmic.baddie, or my website, www.thecosmicbaddie.com. I just launched my spiritual business mastermind, where it's going to be a 16-week program. Every week I'm going to be launching a new module, and we're going to be going deep into every single area and aspect of business, from, you know, your offers, your content, your audience, financial competency, systems, admin, money mindset, and really so much more. We'll be having group calls where you're going to be able to get tailored advice and really learn from each other. And you're going to have lifetime access. So anything I add in the future, you're going to be able to get. And it's really just great for anyone who's starting their business or wants to incorporate spirituality and strategy into their business and refine things a little bit, make it more robust and sustainable. And then I also do a few other things like clearings or one-off business sessions if you're looking for that as well.
Right on. That's awesome. Yeah. Love your content.
Thank you.
Are you still making music?
Yes, I'm still DJing on the side. I need to make some more time for it because, yeah, I love that as well. I'm a manifesting generator in human design, if anyone's familiar with that, which just means I'm very multi-passionate. That's my personality type. So that's why, you know, you heard a little bit about accounting, spirituality, business, DJing.
Respectfully, I hate you because you're a manifesting generator and that makes me jealous. It's a double-edged sword. Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword, trust me.
Like, damn, it's just, fuck. The fact that you get to manifest whatever you want and generate the people at the same time, awesome. But then, yeah, definitely could be a double-edged sword for sure. I could see how that could backfire on you.
Yeah, because like right now, like, there's so many different things I want to do, so I'm, like, all over the place. But as a generator, don't worry, you're, like, an energetic powerhouse. That's the trait of a generator, the superpower of a generator.
Right, yeah, no, it's important. And honestly, like, it's cool to see, like, the artistic side of you and then, like, the logical side of you become balanced. And, I mean, that's how I am, too. Like, I'm trying to balance, like, different concepts around technology, creativity, and spirituality. And I thought those can't go together, but they can. Like, they really can. They're like I have four different pillars that all connect together. And, you know, that's kind of how you're going about it too. So, like, there's always a balance between logic and creativity. Like, I truly believe that. And the people that can harness those two things are going to be very successful. So I think that mindset you have. How old are you, by the way? I don't mean to ask.
I am 29.
Holy shit. I was like, damn, I thought, yeah, I'm 27. So, I mean, you know, we're in our later 20s, but obviously a lot of maturity for sure. I don't know. I feel like there's so many people that are so young waking up to like this type of lifestyle, which is really cool. Like, you know, I saw people in my collective group that were in their like early 20s that were like, yeah, I want to like tap into a spiritual based business. And I want to like, you know, create a lifestyle that's just like not working a 9-to-5 and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, good for you. Like that's really courageous because I'm sure like the pushback from friends and family is pretty huge because like you're going against the grain, you know, you're going against everything your parents, maybe grandparents did. And that's pretty hard.
I think people are waking up more and more and even younger and younger. So that's kind of exciting to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, doing this in our late 20s is probably the best decision we could make because like,
yeah,
we don't necessarily have like, you know, I couldn't imagine like the people in the collective group I was in too, there were also people in their like 50s, 40s, even there was a woman who was like in her 60s with like a grandkid. Like I couldn't imagine trying to balance that while trying to find this like sovereignty in life at the same time. Cause like you're trying to like maneuver that and then also trying to get you like your kids into that. But then also like trying to figure out how to work, you know, with your kids in this sort of lifestyle that you're also trying to change the programming.
Yeah. And now is the youngest you'll ever be. Right. And it kind of comes back to divine timing. Whenever it happens for you is the exact right time it was supposed to happen for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm super thankful for that and super thankful for you to come on and just kind of give your insight on a lot of different things. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's always good having these high-level spiritual conversations because, you know, I think that's where a lot of healing can take place for people and a lot of actualizations. So, like I said, listeners, the Cosmic Baddie, you got to give her a follow. Give her some time to, you know, maybe also be seen and heard and then hopefully sign up for some of your offerings because you have multiple. And they all have a purpose. So thank you again, Kimmy. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me. This was awesome.